Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
So somehow, in a miraculous way, it's like we're halfway through 2019, as it is one day before June. What is going on? It's freaking me out a little too much.
I know. Life is whipping by. It always
whipping
whips
by
you by.
Way too fast.
So
just saying.
It's so interesting. I was just reading a release. You know, I'm very passionate about what are the amenities that keep people here in Pittsburgh, right? And what are the amenities that we need to have,
right?
And you came back from a trip a while back, going over to Copenhagen.
Loved it,
right?
Yeah.
You loved it. And one of the points that you made that's really stuck with me is
back up. I made a point that stuck with you.
Yes, one point.
All right,
one.
Point. One in 12
one
years.
Point.
This is good. I like
years.
This. Okay, very cool.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
It was that in Copenhagen, and I guess in Malmo.
Malmo is
right over.
Sweden.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually Sweden.
But. That they make it really not attractive to own a car.
Exactly. Right.
Right?
And as a guy that loves cars, I also hate cars for the other reasons. And so I was like,
so they make it really not attractive.
Exactly. And they make it very attractive to have alternatives to using a car.
Right. Which includes what?
Bicycles
as
the main form of just surely easy to get from point A to
point
B.
And so there's a recent study that was done for 2013 to 2017.
Okay.
And the focus was on, showed that about 0.1% of the workers in the United States.
Yeah.
So it's essentially statistically significant. Yeah. And that what people cared about was the ability to commute to work by bike.
Yeah. It's just 0.1% of the population.
Right. That working.
I'm surprised it's that much.
But
it's such a rare thing.
Right. That's working. That's what they care about.
I'm part of that 0.1, which
is
really fantastic.
So where do you think is the place where the highest percentage of workers that bike to work? And this is like 90% confidence.
What's the place?
Yeah.
In the United States?
Mm-hmm.
In the United States? I would say New York.
Nope. Davis, California.
Yep.
Okay. That's the number one. And then it goes to Boulder, then Santa Cruz, Palo Alto.
Even more than New York. I thought with New York and its population, I just see so many people on bikes just doing whatever.
Cambridge, Mass.
Okay.
Somerville, Mass. Eugene, Oregon. Portland, Oregon. Mountain View.
Yeah.
So these are Gainesville, Florida. Washington, D.C., Santa Barbara, where my daughter lives.
Yeah, very cool.
Ann Arbor, Minneapolis. But by far and large, all of these places are growing cities.
They're growing cities. And
they're growing talent. the attracting talent
in these cities
of what is called millennials or the
right.
next generation.
So here's what I learned, like when I was in Copenhagen, when they had mentioned that, you know, the vast majority of the population rides their bike to work. But they told me this, and this is where
they're not cyclists, right?
They don't consider themselves cyclists. It's just they use a bike as an appliance in which to get to work on, many of them. But the idea is they're commuting 3 miles on a very flat terrain. So, for instance, my commute is 15 miles one way. And
you're a monster.
And I have 700 feet of elevation gain, which isn't a lot. It's pretty flat, believe it or not. But so in Pittsburgh, our topography really makes it difficult because most people live away from the core of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And to get in requires you getting sweaty and maybe feeling some pain in your legs and your lungs because you got to actually, you know, put a little work behind it.
So you're not really just cruising.
You're not just cruising. So I actually had an experience on an electric bike when I was in Copenhagen for a few miles.
Oh, did you?
And it has me, you know, it.
I thought you were like.
It tears at every bit of my soul.
A naysayer.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
That.
It tears every bit of my soul that my engine is my legs. But my Lord, when you're just, it's like having a miniature motorcycle. And just zipping around.
Right. So you can, so
do
you
a
can
little
see,
pedaling
I would use that.
Right. So maybe the adoption of electric bikes might help people. But it's also, I think, a cultural mindset that we'd like getting into our cars and driving into the city center.
But what do you think about creating policy and creating right. strategies that make it difficult?
Hey, I don't know.
For cars. How do you feel about that?
I would rather make it easier for people to come in as opposed to saying I want to put something to make it difficult for people.
But in order to make it easier for people to come in, that's... transit.
Right.
Right? That's ground transportation.
Ground transportation. Yeah. So maybe it's something along the lines of like only so many cars can get into the city without paying something.
We as a city need to understand that there are trends.
Right.
And the trends are people like to live close to where they work.
Right.
But they also like to live, not just work.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So the requirements are different.
Definitely.
So if they have to spend a lot of time in traffic... And the amenities aren't there.
Right.
The likelihood is our attractiveness goes down.
Yeah, it goes way down. I mean, I can even say just from my own personal experience, with us just moving our offices just 3 miles
away. I know, just
away,
like 2 miles away,
when
3 miles away.
When I do take my car, which is probably 70% of
it's
the time.
It's a lot more than you used to.
It becomes a big part of your day just
I know, you and I
were
very spoiled.
We were spoiled before.
I could have walked to work in my day. Right.
I could ride my bike to work in 25 minutes and it would take me half an hour in the car, but now it's 45 minutes in my car at the bottom end, usually an hour to get home from work.
Really?
And that's just to go 9 miles. It's kind of not fun like that. So the days I get on my bicycle and I'm just cruising along the jail trail and going up
it's
through Shenley Park.
You don't go so by the better. Jail trail anymore.
I take the jail trail and then I go across onto the Great Allegheny Passage and ride that right all the way up into the waterfront, over the Rankin Bridge and into Edgewood. It's a beautiful, beautiful commute. I love it. It's like you get a little mix of Pittsburgh steel industry. The rivers, like everything about Pittsburgh that's awesome. I get on my bike ride and I miss it when I can't do it at least once a week. So
right. So what are we going
to
do?
We just need to make our city to where people can get around on a bicycle a little easier. Maybe there's more electric bikes that are out there for people to use and not be afraid to go 4 or 5 miles on and park them and have easy access and just not be afraid
of it. With the influx of autonomous vehicles and all that's happening in terms of the investment in Pittsburgh, we are attracting more people that come from outside of the city.
Exactly. And they kind of expect some of these
amenities. They expect it.
Right. And they come here and probably don't find it. So it's like, how do I plug in here?
Right. And it's not so easy.
Right.
And we really do need to give the mayor some credit because he has been trying to figure out some ways to make it easy. But he can't thread it through.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Lawrenceville, it's not easy to ride a bike unless you go down by the water, right?
Also, many people are afraid to ride in traffic. I'm not afraid to ride in traffic because I've been riding bikes for 25 years. But who knows when you can get hit. But I'm one of those where I'm not afraid to be in traffic, which is a plus. But many people, they don't want that. I understand why. It can be scary.
Right.
So,
that's why I don't ride.
In Lawrenceville, you got to go way over and there's a trail that's, along the river, but you're not really in the heart of it.
By the railroad tracks.
Exactly.
So it is possible that in Lawrenceville.
But so in Copenhagen, we only got a couple minutes left here. It was great because there was dedicated bike paths with signals. They actually, as we were touring facilities, we actually saw a time-lapsed video of bicycle traffic going through the city. It was like watching a circulatory system in like the human body. Like all these cyclists come up to the thing and they stop and then they go and it's a nice even flow. Nothing's getting jammed up. Like it's impressive. And I don't know how that would work exactly in Pittsburgh, but I will say groups like Bike Pittsburgh have made a huge difference putting a lot more bike lanes in.
Mm-hmm.
And as a cyclist, it's become so much easier over the past 20 years to cycle to work. Even just from a cultural standpoint, no one yells at you for being on a bike anymore. As much, should I say. So I
digress. As much.
As
but
much. Yep.
Needless to say, we talk about these kinds of things on Tech Vibe because it matters
exactly
to what the next generation is and the future growth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we've got some great guests stopping by the show tonight. We have Mike Cohn from Teletracking, Tracy Brown from Fragman, and of course we have Jeff Forrester from TrueFit hanging out with the Center for Victims, built a really important app for these guys. Can't wait to get to it. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Tech Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. You know what, Audrey? This is not the first time we've had somebody from a really cool company called Teletracking stop by.
No, I think we're just going to go through all their leadership and just have them on the show.
I like it. I think it's a great idea. Absolutely.
I think we'd like that as well.
I think so. So we have Michael Cohn, VP of technology?
That is correct.
I want to get the titles
technology.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay. So, welcome. Glad
Thank
to
you.
See you. Actually, glad to meet you. We hadn't met you before.
No,
so, Jonathan,
I'm glad
and I
to be
are
here. Appreciate it.
Because I think, Audrey, you're like the fifth Beatle of Teletracking sometimes. And
I'm just a fan of the vision. I'm a fan of the vision. I'm a fan
company.
Of the work. And having spent enough in health insurance at the Tech Council side of the house, as well as healthcare, I know enough to have at least an intelligent conversation, but very often the conversations themselves aren't intelligent. So it's thrilling to be able to hear what the work is at Teletracking.
Absolutely.
And we're going to dive a little bit in because you've been at Teletracking for what, almost
3 years now.
Almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you came to us from another company, and
correct.
Us meaning Pittsburgh.
Teletracking, Pittsburgh. Yes.
Right. So were you?
Prior to Teletracking, I was with Amazon. That was a
little company.
Senior
little
company
before,
in Seattle.
Think, yeah.
Senior manager for their advertising platform.
Wow. So you made a shift, quite a shift, right?
I moved back to where home was, in essence.
Ah, okay.
Oh, is this home?
This is home. Seattle was the move to away from home.
Aww.
And now you're back.
So you grew up.
Yeah.
You became an adult there, and then you came home.
I would say I was already an adult, but yeah, I enjoyed the time out there, and it was time to move back to be closer to family and friends.
And have a cool opportunity to place like Teletracking.
Absolutely.
Looking at lots and lots of data.
Yeah, so talk about the mission of Teletracking and talk about what your role is and even do some comparisons to Amazon. I think that might be interesting.
I like that idea, Audrey. Good thinking.
Yeah, sure. Teletracking, the mission of Teletracking is pretty straightforward. We want to, we have basically that our mission is that no patient waits for the care that they need. So our responsibility from a technology team is to support that vision or that mission. We have an interesting deployment model where we have several hundreds to near 1,000 hospitals where we have our software deployed, and we've been able to take that data and aggregate that data into a single environment, and that enables pretty incredible decision making that we haven't been able to do in the past, and it's very similar to what I was able to do at Amazon. At Amazon, it was mostly about very large-scale data. It was very much about making decisions on how the performance of an ad campaign is going. And we're doing something very similar to Teletracking, but it's all about the operational flow of patients within the health system. How do you get them into the hospital? How do you get them out of the hospital in the most efficient manner?
Well, what's so fascinating is this is a massive problem.
Massive. We're talking,
yeah.
As Michael will say, yeah. Michael Zamias, the president and CEO of Teletracking, I guess, CEO of Teletracking, and Chris Johnson, our president, both of them will say that this is a multi, many billion dollar problem.
And it's people's lives at the end of the
it's
day.
It's people's lives. Yeah. It's about patient movement, but it's about staffing. We see the problem, the big problem being inefficiency in healthcare is due primarily to staffing. Labor force is very inefficient in healthcare. Mm-hmm. It's probably about 20-30% efficient. Michael always uses those numbers. And if you're talking about a multi-hundred-billion-dollar waste, labor pool, you're
mm-hmm.
talking about many billions of dollars in terms of just waste. And our job and our mission is to ensure that no patient waits for the care they need, but to do that by reducing operational burden on the health system so that they have more ability to care for the patients that they have.
So can you talk about any of your customers who have used and put together these command centers?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We just recently went live with a health system in Dayton, Ohio called Kettering, and we have the concept of a command center. The concept of a command center basically is you think of hospitals are no longer just the four walls in a single facility. Hospitals are no longer just hospitals. It's a health system. You have many hospitals that work as under one umbrella. You have urgent care settings. You have post-acute settings. These are all part of the health system. In a command center, the idea is to have a single location where you can manage the flow of patients, the flow of both on ingest and ingress and egress. Patients into the health system and out of the health system in the most efficient way. And the command center is the mechanism with which we can have single visibility, a single pane of glass, if you will, seeing how the performance of that health system is operating, or how that health system is operating. Kettering in Dayton, Ohio is one of our recent command centers that they just opened up that we've installed and configured for them. Carilion Clinic or Carilion in Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia area is another good command center, and this is the future of healthcare. It's no different than as Chris will say, he likes to call it care traffic control.
Right.
I equate it to more of an operations center or air operations center in the DoD space, where you have where you might be battling or having a battle or somewhere in a remote country, but yet the operations are happening centrally in somewhere in the United States.
Right.
So the same concept is what you would have with these command centers throughout the U.S.
And so the problem in terms of staffing is actually pretty real in the United States, even though the demand for nurses across the different gradations of nursing is still, we have a huge shortage.
We have a huge shortage. There's no doubt about it, and it's going to continue to get worse, I feel, especially in not just from a nursing perspective, but from doctor's perspective. I think it's just across the whole staffing model. It gets worse and worse over time. And the problem that the health systems have is they struggle with understanding what they have and what they need in terms of future staffing. And part of what teletracking is positioned to do is solve that problem for them, where we can look out into the future and tell them 3 days from now that, listen, you're going to be short three nurses in this unit if you don't, you need to prepare accordingly. So doing predictive models to help them be more efficient, not just looking in hindsight, but looking in foresight and looking in forward to tell them what their problems are.
So you compare your experience at Amazon, compare your experience in working for a really mission-centric company.
Yeah, Amazon is huge. There's no doubt about it, right? You could say that it has a mission. It had a mission. Its mission certainly wasn't around providing care necessarily for the patients. It's about reducing margins. Not yet.
Not yet.
They may enter that market. But it really is about getting to that, from an Amazon standpoint, it's about reducing that margin for customers, being able to efficiently deliver goods to them in a quick way. Not only thing, but teletracking, it's really all about, it's really about that mission. It's a very focused company. Leadership is very behind the organization. It's very, our Michael's been around solving this problem for 28 years, and many people have been doing that along with him. And it's great to be working for a company that really cares about not only its employees, but really cares about the problems that are facing society as a whole. Because this truly is one of the biggest societal problems we have.
So we got about a minute or so left, and culture is so important to teletracking.
Yep.
You're employing the smartest people in the world are coming to Pittsburgh. Tell us why it's so cool to be at teletracking.
That's a great question. Well, I think from my perspective, obviously being a VP of technology, I want to talk about the technology stack that we employ. The technologies that we use are absolutely leading edge technology. So it gives people at least an understanding that they're working with very high technology, I guess. But more importantly, it's the culture that we provide within that to enable people to make decisions, work, to operate independently, and to do things that they feel is best for them and is best for the company, and allow them to make those decisions on their own.
So are you hiring?
We are hiring big time. So we have many, many openings right now.
Go to teletracking.com and you can check it out. I can't thank Mike Cohen from Teletracking
thank
for hanging out.
Thank
one
you very much.
One of Pittsburgh's absolute coolest tech companies in Pittsburgh. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. I tell you what, Audrey, it's been a very long time since we have talked to one Tracy Brown. You know, back in the day, we were conjecturing how long it's been.
Oh,
we were
gosh.
Thinking it was like 2012.
I've been tracking her. I had a GPS on her.
Well,
so
she had been tracking her. She had one of the coolest companies, Evil Genius, back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
we're going to revisit that.
No, we're not doing flashbacks
I'm just
now.
Saying she was
just
crushed.
That's a different segment we want
to
do.
It's a whole segment. But it was so cool because I hadn't heard from her, and she popped up with this company called Fragment, a law firm.
I know, crazy.
And they got this great story, and I couldn't wait to have her stop.
I know, I'm pretty
well,
psyched.
Well, I missed you guys, yeah. So I thought
so
I'd come
it's
by.
It's so great. So let's just frame it for us. Just really frame it for us and talk about Fragment, and then talk about what you're participating here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, sure. So Fragment is the world's largest law firm that focuses solely on immigration services.
Yeah.
And I know kind of in today's culture, everybody thinks about borders and stuff. But really, when you get into it, we provide mobility and immigration services to the largest clients who need to move human capital talent around the world.
Which is our world. Which
yes,
we, I
totally.
Love that.
And think
That's
about tech, right? Anything
right.
tech.
All about.
You're going after the best engineers
right.
and the best technologists. So a few years ago, Fragment decided that we really needed to get serious about engineering the next generation of immigration services and how that affects our clients.
Yeah.
And so our CIO, Scott Angelo, who we'll talk a little bit about.
Mm-hmm.
But nicely.
Well, I adore Scott.
Of course, we all do.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. So he had an idea to create an immigration technology and innovation lab. And having been familiar with the area, he chose Pittsburgh as the right place to do
That's
that.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Yeah, it's so cool, man.
So dive into that a little bit. Like, what does that mean in
so,
terms of
similar
the problem
to,
that you're solving?
So similar to other companies that look for specialized like accelerators or incubators or technology headquarters, that's really what we're doing. We have a technology center north of Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and we created it as a showcase so that we can invite our clients and our technology partners to come to the space and co-create solutions for the clients that we service.
Right.
So it's solely, well.
So Fragment is thinking ahead
work
here.
For yeah. hire.
Fragment is thinking for ahead. We do some contract work for hire stuff, but we're now at over 120 personnel in about 18 months.
Just north of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And what kind of talent? Like, what kind of talent?
So it ranges. So we have engineers, of course, but we have data scientists, we have product people, project managers, business process analysts. And then we do have a small group of legal writers who are stationed here that are helping us with some of our
gotcha.
Products and some of the functions.
And
we
what
do.
Are you charged with doing in this Pittsburgh office?
So I get the lucky new role of a department that we just kind of created, which specifically focuses on product design and innovation.
Ooh.
So completely right up my alley.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this has Tracy Brown written all over.
Yeah.
And so Fragment, though, I think people need to understand that Fragment is an international law firm.
Yeah. International, global, worldwide offices. We have 46 at last count, I think, 46 offices worldwide.
Right.
And the reason for that is that we're not just U.S. centric. You know, when we're moving human capital around the globe, there's in immigrations and out immigrations mm-hmm. and all
Absolutely.
Those jurisdictions that you have to deal with, to make that capital movement happen.
So can you tease us a little bit about what some of the things that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, I can tease you a lot about
well,
things.
Tease us a lot, please.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're looking at a couple different things. The things I think we can talk about are certainly, if you think about immigration, and I don't know that any of us have ever gone through it. I've sponsored a couple people in the past, right?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. So it can be a pretty cumbersome process.
Very much so.
But imagine all of the paperwork and all of the evidence that you have to provide in order
it's
to get that approval and those visas issued.
Right, exactly.
Right? Yeah, stacks.
Big stacks.
Audrey's
yeah.
showing us stacks.
Yeah, stacks.
Like huge stacks of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're experimenting with new technologies like robotic process automation.
Yeah, a little RPA.
A little RPA plug in the house.
Exactly.
Where you can automagically fill in forms or maybe do e-filings mm-hmm. so that we eliminate some of the manual collating of documents and stuff.
And the tracking of documents.
Absolutely.
And the tracking, for sure.
Right now we're working with optical character recognition, which, you know, I know is not cutting edge 2019 tech.
Yeah, but it's important.
But for immigration, it is. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we're doing is we're changing out our mobile application. So instead of having, you know, our foreign national personnel who need to move around have to key in all of the data about them, we're just going to enable them to scan passports and automatically read the data off of it. So we're fixing data quality issues. We're fixing speed of completing that type of paperwork so that we can actually turn their visas around faster.
And all these technologies are being developed here in Pittsburgh.
They are. They're all developed in Pittsburgh. We do have tech professionals all over the world from a different, you know, for different services.
Like for support, right.
For support, or maybe there was a hotbed of talent that was there that we wanted to utilize. Mm-hmm. But the majority of all tech innovation is going to be homed out of Pittsburgh.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So what kinds of roles, like, are you hiring for now?
We are hiring.
And we'll talk about the Tech Connect in a second,
too. Plug.
June 13th.
Hot off the presses. Your website was just updated as I was sitting
in the
lobby.
Okay.
Yes. We're hiring for a variety of technology roles. So anything from software engineers to product owners. I have a couple product owner positions open. To BI specialists, data warehousing. I know I have a desktop person open. I know there's a couple security roles that have opened. So really, if it's kind of this, if you're a generalist in security, or you even have a specialty that's very deep, like we're somebody that you should probably just take a look at.
Definitely. That's why I'm really excited about this Tech Connect you're putting on June 13th, because people can stop out and actually meet who to be working with, check out the environment, learn more about the projects they'd be working on. I mean, it's a great way to get right up in front with the folks
sort
at Fragment.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So all this work that you're doing is you're getting inputs from clients, too, as you build this. So you have like a customer focus on this as well.
Exactly. We actually have an internal customer focus and an external customer focus. So we have a proprietary case management system because, as you can imagine, being the law firm that has to service immigration, we have to be able to track where you are in the process of attaining, you know, those authorizations and visas. But we also have an external client base where I don't want to name any of them, but if you, they're popular. Mm-hmm. We have some of the world's largest clients who need to move capital around. They have to also put on good technology for their employees, which we sometimes provide that as a service because they don't have it. Right. You know, they don't want to build. You don't want to build that type of case management.
You guys have it. You can then deploy it for
Right, exactly. Right? Yeah. That's the service that we bring to the table. You know, our deep knowledge in immigration issues, but then in addition to that, the technology that we have.
I mean, immigration issues are complex. They're not getting easier. Mm-mm. And it's been going on for 8-10 years.
Yeah.
Where it's really been suffering.
Yeah.
But actually, if you think since, you know, 9/11,
mm-hmm.
the world has really changed in terms of immigration. And in Pittsburgh, as we wrestle with population, you know, meaning growth of population, and particularly for the skill sets that we need, the issue is like almost 40% of the people who go to these universities want to stay in Pittsburgh and they're foreign born.
Exactly.
And so it may, and very often companies are fretful because they feel like it's an onerous process.
Mm-hmm.
And while we've had lots of attorneys on, you know, talking about the process, talking about, you know, how, you know, they sort of, you know, try to press through it. But if you're from, you know, depending upon the country that you're from, there's, you know, lots of things that push you out further or can pull you in. But businesses are concerned of the complexity.
Yes, and they should be. It is a complicated, you know, series of steps and authorizations. And
so you've become like a master of the business process now, right?
Exactly.
Streamlining it and making it
which is also sort of cool.
Right. So as you may remember, I solve problems.
Right.
You know, that's what gets me out of it.
That's on your LinkedIn profile.
It's probably, I think it is actually. Have you been stalking me?
Yes, I admit it.
Yes, she has been stalking me.
Yes. So I solve problems, and this is a really complicated problem to solve. You know, how do you move human capital around the most efficient way possible, keeping in mind that there are government agencies that we don't get to influence sometimes.
Right, right.
So how can I squish the time around all of those
and make companies feel comfortable?
Correct.
In terms of taking this on.
Right. Think of you're somebody who has to move for a company.
Right.
Right. You need to know, when am I going to have to pack up and go? What are the tax implications? Can I take my wife?
Can
I take
work?
My
can
children?
What about
work?
My dog?
What about my dog? Yeah. What do I do? Where do I live?
So you're including all that, that whole range of processes?
We might be strategically looking at how we can service a larger...
That is like turnkey.
It's very interesting because it's not just moving people. It's really about moving them in a way that they have a quality of life.
It's moving lives. It's not the person itself, but it's everything that they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's super complicated. So it's all happening in Pittsburgh, too.
That's all happening in Pittsburgh.
And that's like some of the stuff that's behind the scenes that we're working on trying to solve.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I heard the space is beautiful, by the way.
Yes, our space is gorgeous.
What makes it so gorgeous? What's
well, it was completely designed for tech dev people. Like we have the standing desks. All the walls are all painted to be whiteboard walls wherever you have. We have your requisite, monster refrigerators and game room and tournaments and things like that.
But you also have some beautiful furniture in terms of the pictures that I thought of that I haven't seen everywhere.
Yeah, the pictures are. The furniture is beautiful. Like, Scott really paid attention to detail.
And the culture?
Culture is like you would expect at a tech firm. It's casual.
Lots of food. Autonomy.
I want to go to this Tech Connect to learn more now. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I want you guys to come see it.
That's why I'm excited.
I've heard that.
June 13th.
Even if you're not going to be eligible for a job or you want to just come for the open house and see what it's about, you should totally come.
Definitely. So if you go to pghtech.org, it's on our site there, and you can easily register. The Fragman Tech Connect. And then if we want to learn more about Fragman, where can we go and learn more about the company itself?
Oh, Fragman.com.
Excellent.
Just that simple. And Tracy Brown, what a pleasure to have you here back with
us
at Tech Vibe Radio.
Thanks for inviting me back.
And it won't be 9 to 10 years for the next time you're back.
I hope not.
We swear. You're doing some great stuff. So excited that you're doing what you're doing. Audrey, we're taking a quick break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
We got so much more Tech Vibe Radio coming your way. This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Sometimes, Audrey, technology solves problems that are crazy, right? And we got such a story today that I'm really excited about. We got a great company here with TrueFit who's been building apps for many, many, many years. And we have the Center for Victims hanging out with us, which is just fantastic work when it comes to keeping people safe and everything like that. So they came together to build something really cool. And I'm just so glad to have them here. So
let's introduce ourselves.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's Laurie. My name's Laurie McDonald. I'm the CEO for Center for Victims.
And what's Center for Victims?
Center for Victims is the largest victim service organization in the state, maybe even in the country. We're a comprehensive agency, so we provide services to all victims of all crimes.
That's really, really important stuff. Yeah. And you're on the south side, is right?
We just moved to the south side. We were in East Liberty for a while.
It's like an old-looking mill building they kind of made. And that's
yeah,
you guys
it's really nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now we're really full service because we're all in one building.
Very, very great.
Yeah. Okay. And then we have, from TrueFit...
Yeah, I'm Jeff Forster. I am a product owner at TrueFit. I work on an interdisciplinary software development team there. TrueFit is a software product development company, been around 20 plus years. And so we build new web and mobile apps for anyone who has an idea.
Done some great things, I know.
So where did this idea come from?
Yeah, how did you choose Connect?
Tell us about this, Laura. Yeah.
Well, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, I guess, and what... Years ago, we were struggling financially. That's when the market was crashing the last time. Anyway, we're at a staff meeting, and we have this jail release notification that we do by hand. You know, we do it. We interface with the jail every 2 hours.
Oh my goodness!
When somebody's been arrested for domestic violence, for example, they get arrested. They go to the jail. Then the victim goes back home, and they want to know where the perpetrator is.
Right.
So the whole idea is safety. So we have a contract with the jail. We've had it for 25 years. And we do this process 24/7. Takes a lot of manpower
to
do it.
Every 2 hours, someone's getting the latest list of who's out and where they're
going. And they call us, and then we call the victim.
Oh my goodness.
But, you know, like so many things, it's labor intensive.
Right.
It's costly. And I just made a joke one day in a staff meeting and said, you know, there should be an app for this.
And by heck, there is.
Thank you, Jeff. We have an app for this now.
Cool.
So anyway, it's a great tool because not only does it provide for the safety of the victim, it gives the victim peace of mind. Because you can imagine if you're in a critical situation like that, and you're traumatized by having somebody you care about who may have hurt you.
It's crazy.
You know, so you're laying there, and you get your call at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it says, "Well, he's in arraignment now, and we'll call you back as soon as the jail gets back to us."
And he's out.
and that's the hard part. But in the meantime, you're laying there, and you're thinking, "Oh my God, you know, what does that mean? I don't know what arraignment is."
Right.
So Jeff and his team at TrueFit, they helped us to build this app that not only provides for the push notification, because, you know, many people, younger people who are usually domestic violence victims between the ages of 18 and 40,
right.
You know, they hold their world in their hand and their phone. So we provide them a push notification now. Hi there, Gracie.
Hi. Gracie the dog.
Gracie the dog is here. Yeah. She's adorable.
She likes hanging out with Tech Vibe Radio.
It's like the Center for Victims Therapy Dogs.
Yes, exactly. Yes, we do. We have therapy dogs.
Yeah, she would be perfect.
They go to court with kids. But anyway, so getting back to this, so there's an information FAQs in there, information about what does arraignment mean,
right.
What does fingerprinting mean. So in the middle of the night, you get a little more peace of mind. You know he's in jail, and you know what the process is and what's coming next, what are next steps.
Gotcha.
So it gives people, you know, a little bit, reduces their anxiety a little bit. And then when he's actually released, we call them immediately or push notification. And that gives them a little extra time for safety planning, because we know that 75% of all victims of homicide, domestic violence homicide, happens right after somebody's been released from jail.
Oh,
right.
No. I didn't know that.
Yeah, or when they leave. Yeah, but mostly it's jail. It might even be a little higher. That's what somebody kind of corrected
me. How scary to have an app that then gets people in the know. And wow, that's powerful stuff. How did you find TrueFit to build this thing?
How do we find TrueFit? How we really found it was through Duolingo, who was our neighbor.
Very cool.
And he and Darren.
Thank you,
Duolingo.
And
I had done the Uprise too, and Darren was involved in the Uprise. Right. Darren Grove.
Right. Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah.
So that's great. So now this app is available.
It is. We've just launched it. 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Yes.
So it's ready to go, and we have advocates who go to court with people, and then the police or the jail always calls the victim and tells them to call us, and we'll set them up with the app, and you know they can begin using it.
And so, anything that you've discovered, like in other efficiencies in terms of using the app, that surprised you?
Just using the app is pretty amazing. You know, in the human service sector of our economy, we don't do a lot of tech work and computer work. And I've always found that sort of strange, because I'm not a social worker. I don't come from that world. And, you know, I graduated from Carnegie Mellon, where computers and, you know, this is many moons ago, of course. But, you know, I've always believed in technology and that. And I come to this sector and they're still doing things on paper, like in 2014.
Right.
So that's kind of been one of my goals, is to kind of try to bring technology to this sector that
you're
needs it for safety purposes.
Yeah. Give us a sense of how big this problem is.
In terms of your world. We do about 4,000 jail release notifications a year.
Wow. That's
a lot.
Yeah.
It's 4,000 individuals?
Correct.
That's a lot of cases. Yeah, so having an app to automate
this.
In Pittsburgh,
southwestern Pennsylvania.
Allegheny County Jail. Yeah.
That's amazing. So Jeff, tell us about developing this app, like what it took. I mean, obviously, you got to work with them to figure out all the functionalities, and then how do you go through testing it and making sure that it actually works? Like, it seems like it's a pretty involved process.
Especially when you're working with social work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. TrueFit is good at this, I will say. We're good at discovering what the problem is and what designing potential solutions for that problem.
Gotcha.
So in the case of the Center for Victims, we did typical kind of discovery workshop, kickoff workshops to understand the domain that they're working in. And then I remember very vividly one of the early parts of this project, we went to the office of the woman who runs the jail notification program, Brenda Sakala, and our team of three at that point, four people were trying to get to know what the problem was, a couple of designers and a software engineer and myself. And we're all crowded in Brenda's office, and we mapped out what we call the journey, the user's journey of coming into the jail notification program. And then, and we're always asking, what is that person thinking at the time? What are they feeling? What are they doing? And we mapped out this whole journey, and it actually wrapped around Brenda's office. It's about the size of the studio that we're talking
in
today.
So cool.
And we mapped it all out on the wall and then took it back and put it on a great big poster so that an artifact like that, people can gather around and say, yes, okay, you got this right at this step, but
cool.
Oh, we forgot to say this, and we add that in, and we just layer the information
really cool.
Piece upon piece.
It's incredible to me that these two worlds were able to meet and to mesh so quickly and clearly. Jeff was really great.
Definitely.
And because, you know, the people who he's working with are not very tech savvy at all.
How long did it
take?
And
he got it.
Yeah, how long did it take from first meeting to hitting the button and being like, this thing, it works?
The initial development was about 5 months, and then we had some delays in getting it live, and we had another little, when you build an app and then it is not ready to launch, you have to give it a little more care and feeding in order to get it to the finish line kind of again. And so we came back and did a couple more months' worth of work, and then it was ready to launch.
They were very patient. He's being very nice because we're a nonprofit and we run out of money quickly, and we have to wait until the next round comes through.
Exactly.
Oh my. The center was a great partner. They're familiar with startups, so they know how things
work. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You're not the only ones
who
are waiting for funding.
So are you seeing some other solutions in the near future?
Well, we've talked about the next step, but it's a little more complicated. But what we'd like to see is geofencing for victims so that we can build a geofence around the victim.
That makes total sense. Right?
Yeah, it really makes a ton of sense. And it just talk about the peace of mind. You know, right now you have a PFA, which is a piece of paper, as everybody says, and people always say, well, you know, PFAs don't really work. And blah, blah, blah. Well, they're only as good as the piece of paper and the person who is behind it, who is either law abiding or they're not. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's intent to hurt somebody, they're going to do it. Nobody's going to stop them, not a paper, not a geofence, nothing. However, the geofence can give the victim additional time to be safe.
Give them a heads up.
A heads up, exactly. Right. And so, you know, we want to try to build this geofence so it's maybe about a quarter of a mile out or something. Give somebody time instead of when he's at your door.
Yeah, geofence is 10 feet away.
Yeah.
There you are.
Right. And that's kind of what gave me the idea. A long time ago, we were talking about ankle bracelets. Mm-hmm. And the vendor was showing us a video of the ankle bracelets. And I looked at that, and he's showing the video, and the perpetrator's right outside the window.
Yeah, there he is.
It's a little late.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So at any rate, that's our next step, and that takes a lot more. We have to, you know, get with the court systems a lot. We're working inside with the court, you know, because it involves a lot of Fourth Amendment rights to privacy and all those kind of issues. But I think very soon we'll be able to move that forward, and I think that's going to be a wonderful thing for victims.
So can you sell this now to other places around the United States?
I would like to think so.
Yeah, I feel like you have something here that you could license.
Well, we're certainly ready. Yeah. We're certainly ready and willing to share. And here in Allegheny County, we have shared this app with our we're sharing this app with our fellow domestic violence
That's
organizations.
So cool.
So that because we do most of their jail release notification anyway. So we're going to give them the app now, and they can give it to their clients as well, or we'll give it to their clients.
I mean, I think about all these people just in Allegheny County that you're now tracking, and the power of this. Obviously, it feels like it could be plugged in to the other centers that would be similar to what you're doing in counties across the country.
It absolutely can be. It can be tweaked easily. So
if people want to know more about, do you have a website?
We do. It's centerforvictims.org.
Okay, that's great. And last thing is the rate of domestic violence increasing or decreasing in Allegheny County?
It's about the same. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I don't think it's changed radically over those 20 years, ever. We may have had one year where we have some more fatalities and other years when we don't.
Right, but it kind of stays. But you know, there's a technology solution to keep people safe, to give them some peace of mind.
Right.
To have a cool company like TrueFit come in and build something like this.
And so, they get it.
Exactly. And TrueFit.io?
TrueFit.io. Very good.
That's your site right there to learn about all this. I mean, you guys can build anything. It's pretty amazing. Your portfolio, I mean, it spans everything. I really encourage our listeners to check out what you guys can build, because you can build an important app like this for Center for Victims. I don't think much stands in your way as far as that goes.
Yeah, we can build an app that not only changes lives but saves lives, we jump at that opportunity.
Very, very cool. Oh, guys,
thank you for doing the work that you're doing, both of you.
Thanks for having us. This is a really important tool. We want to make sure people know it's out there.
That's what we're here to do. It's
great
stuff. Another Tech Vibe Radio comes to an end, Audrey, but you know what?
Yeah,
it's okay.
What a show.
It's okay. Because there's always next Friday.
Thanks for doing this kind
of
work, too.
Definitely, definitely. So we got more of these tech stories coming every single Friday night. That's what I'm thinking. Pittsburgh, such a great city. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have a great weekend, everyone. And learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.